Good evening.
Good evening.
I am so glad to be here. If I get a little teary,
amen.
It's the Lord moving in my heart. As I prepared for what I was going to share tonight, the love of God was so strong. And what I am going to share, you're going to need to remember that, how much He loves you.
Yes.
You will see a format here, a sort of an outline at the top. It says Genesis 1:26. Just make sure you have the right page. Does everyone have that? Genesis 1:26. I don't have my Bible up here with me. For me, it's quicker to just stick it in here, pull it up on the phone. So I thought we might be able to get a little further that way. So, looking at Genesis 1:26, of course, we're all familiar with it, and I probably don't even have to read the whole thing. Basically, let us make man in our image after our likeness. We're all familiar with that. And so everything that I share from here is going to be connected to that somehow, because that is what's in His heart.
Yes, that's right.
He wants us to be like Him. And the methods and the processes that He uses are not always pleasant. But if we know where He's taking us, to the cross, because we're following Christ, right?
That's right.
And isn't that where God took Him, His Father?
Yeah.
If we understand He's doing it because He loves us, we will be able to get through that a lot better than wondering what's going on, why is He doing this? So we have the big why question. Well, the whole Bible answers that why question, and we'll get into that in a little bit. The focus of the teaching is to encourage us to look to Scripture regarding the ways that God uses to bring about this change from our old nature to our new resurrected nature in Him, so we won't faint in our well-doing or become so overwhelmed in the process that we give up before His work in us is complete. And I'm preaching to myself. I have to encourage myself like David did. I go to the Scripture, I go to the Lord, and I have to remind myself, okay, what are we doing here? I know You love me. I know You're going to love me through this process. Now, there's some key concepts that's very helpful for us to keep in mind. All of the Scriptures, and we're not going to get through all these Scriptures, so don't worry that you're not going to be here until 11 o'clock going through all these Scriptures. This handout is for you to take with you. The Lord can speak to you and minister to you wherever I stop. You know, I'll stop at some point. And then take this home. You can use it as a study guide so that the Lord, what He's saying to you does not have to stop tonight. All right, key concept. Again, the love of God towards us. Well, we can say that easily, but do we know it?
Amen.
Have we experienced it? Can we tell other people some kind of testimony about when we encounter the love of God ourselves, so that it will touch their hearts and encourage them and draw them? It is the goodness of God that brings men to repentance. And so let us have a testimony of His love towards us so that we in turn can encourage others. The next one is death to self, life in Christ. I did not plan the song. David and I did not coordinate.
Yeah.
No, you know, musical or written. So this was orchestrated by the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
It is very important that we understand that theme going through all throughout the Bible. Death to self, life in Christ. If we don't keep that centered in our thinking, we'll get lost. And we will not understand what he's doing. The next thing, there's a string of phrases, but they're all similar. The theme of perfection, maturity, training, chastising, cleansing, healing from iniquities, so that we can walk in our new nature or walk in the Spirit. We all have an old nature, but he didn't call us to walk in our old nature. We can do that without him. He called us to walk in our new nature, and we need plenty of help doing that. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Very similar concept that relates back to let us make man in our image. He wants to put his glory in us, but we again have to be empty of ourselves in order for him to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at doing that. It's good to keep in mind there's a difference in a quick work, which he does sometimes, versus a slow, ongoing process. And he does that too. So we can receive either one, both are from the Lord, but it's up to him. He keeps the timing of things, not us. We cannot demand that he do something according to our timing. We have to wait on him and trust him deciding when it's time to do something.
Yes.
It's very important to remember there's a difference in the work of the Spirit versus the work of the flesh. Very important. It comes up often. When we read Scripture, he can teach us to divide that. Okay, and there's scriptures that refer exactly to that. The work of the flesh is so-and-so, the work of the Spirit. But you can start discerning that when you encounter things in church, at work, wherever you are. He can teach you to start seeing, okay, is this my work or is this man's work? Very important to be able to tell the difference. Then, the eternal riches of suffering according to the will of God. That's very important. We are not to endure everything, but we normally get it wrong. If we have to guess whether it's something we need to endure or not, most of the time we're going to opt out. So we have to look to the Lord.
Amen.
Ask him, Lord, is this something you want me to endure? If so, then I know you're going to equip me. You're going to train me. I will have every provision I need. And as long as I know, as long as I know that you're in it,
yes,
I will walk into danger. I will do things that defy logic. I will follow you anywhere as long as I'm convinced that you're in it. If I'm not convinced of that, I probably will opt out because there's no safety unless we're under his wings. And so when we have his word, his protection, I'm learning to be good at following that. Now, again, that's a process in me. I'm better at it this year than I was last year.
Hmm.
I'll be better at it next year than I am now.
Yes, that's right.
And he encourages me by showing me, look how you responded to so-and-so a few years ago. Look how you're responding to it now.
Right.
And I'm still falling short. However, because I see progress that he shows me, then I'm encouraged to carry on. Because I know it's his workmanship in me, not mine. Alright, so the last part of that, it's not so much what you're suffering, it's how you suffer. And I'll get into a little bit more of that later. It has to do with what type of work it is, what materials are being used, whether it's the precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble. But there are scriptures that show us that God is looking closely at our attitudes.
Amen. That's right.
We cannot always control the circumstances, but we can control our attitudes. And he expects us to have a particular type of attitude when we go through these things that he gives us. That this is not something that we drum up in ourselves. Again, he is the enabler and the provider. Alright, the method. This is not an all-inclusive list, of course. This is just something to get started. There are many other, of course, concepts, methods, scriptures. So again, I'm leaving out a lot, but it's just enough to get us started. Method. He shows us things in the natural that we can look at and say, oh, so that's how part of that works, like pruning. We understand things have to be pruned. Doesn't feel good, but it has to be done, doesn't it? The threshing floor. I have found a couple of videos that went into detail about the threshing floor, about turning flax into linen, and all what those materials go through. It is violent, the things that have to be done to these materials, especially turning the flax into linen, the raking, all kinds of things that that's involved in the process. It is amazing. And sometimes we can see, yes, that's how I felt at that point. Yes, that's how I felt at that point. But in the end, is this wonderful product that is created by the Lord. The refiner's fire is another process that shows how he uses things. And if I only know a small amount about these processes. I know enough to see that God is in it. With the refiner's fire, what I remember about that is you get the metal hot, and the impurities come to the surface.
Yes.
But it has to have heat to bring the impurities out, right? And then you can, you know, the person can skim off the from the surface the impurities.
Yes.
So that is an uncomfortable process, but it is necessary. And then when he looks into the metal and can see his reflection, then he knows that that part of the process has been complete. Isn't that what we want?
Yes.
Don't we want him to be able to look at us and see his reflection?
Yes.
But it doesn't happen without a process. It's not poof, and we're like Christ. Baptism by fire. We're certainly familiar with some of the other baptisms. You know, baptism by water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's baptism of repentance, baptism unto his death. But baptism by fire, who's going to sign up for that? The Lord can put that desire in our heart. Our natural man, we're going to curl up our toes and say no thank you. But it is the Lord that puts that desire in us and puts that fire in our heart to say, Lord, whatever it takes, help me get through this process.
Mm-hmm.
Trials and tribulations, adversities, afflictions, weaknesses, unfair treatment by others, persecutions, perils, grief, losses. I added earthly blessings. That's like the sugar on top. He does use that in his process. He knows how to balance all these things. He knows how much of this ingredient, how much of that process, when to add an earthly blessing. And I'll get into a little more about the difference in an earthly blessing and an eternal blessing. There is a difference.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, he knows how to encourage us. And haven't we all experienced some kind of sweet blessing from the Lord?
Yes.
That's important. We all need that. Now, our response, are we murmuring and complaining, or do we offer praise, trust, patience, and joy? Should have put some semicolons here. Are we a victim or a victor? We have a choice.
Right.
You can just listen to someone. People can listen to me and tell whether I'm acting like a victim or if I'm looking to the Lord for victory.
Yeah.
Is our response natural or spiritual?
Yes, that's right.
Again, it's first the natural and then the spiritual. We can't help but have it in that order. It just happens. You know, we all come to the Lord as babes. We're all immature. We all have this natural response to begin with. That's part of our growth and development. But at some point, he's going to expect something different at some level. Okay, it's time to put the pacifiers up. It's time to put the playpen up. Okay, you're 15. There is an expectation at some point that we put those things away. Again, he did not call us to walk in the natural forever. He called us to walk in the spirit.
Yes.
What are we seeking? Another way to discern where we are in the situation. The natural is going to seek earthly relief. We all do that. Until we're convicted and the Lord says, no, I'm looking for a different response from you. This is not something I'm going to relieve you of right now. I want you to endure it. But if we value what's in that endurance, we can understand the eternal riches of what is involved in going through these things. We don't have to suffer for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Our suffering can have purpose. Every single part of it can have purpose. And then, are we looking for happiness or holiness?
Mm-hmm.
Big difference.
Mm-hmm.
If we're looking for happiness, that is temporary.
Yes.
It is not the same as joy. Or are we looking for holiness? Isn't that what he tells us to be? Be ye holy as I am holy.
Yes.
And so these are all callings from the Lord that at some point we hear in our heart. Hopefully we do. Hopefully we do. All right, now, as we go through these scriptures again, occasionally I might say, all right, let's look and see what key concept that's connected to. Let's look and see what kind of response this is producing. What method is it using? But you can do that on your own. That they're all somehow connected to these things at the top. Okay, we're going to look first at John chapter 16 and verse 33. For some reason it came up in Spanish. I don't know why. Okay, let me scroll down. Alright. This one happens to be the NIV. King James is fine. I like different translations. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. But we hear that all the time. Like, can we believe it?
Amen.
Can we grab hold of that and say, I've got something here that's going to stabilize me? So whether you're walking with the Lord or not, you're going to have trouble, right?
Yes.
Why not let Him help you? Why not let Him come alongside of you and let it develop something in you? All things work together for good, for them that are the called. If you're going to have trouble, why not let Him help you?
Amen.
Ecclesiastes 3:1-8, and I don't even have to read the whole thing. This is for everything there's a season. You recognize the verse there. Now the reason I put this in here is, again, there's a time for everything. There's a time for chastising. There's a time for all of these methods. And then there is a time for us to rest. Well, we can even rest in persecution. But there's a time that the Lord will just bring these sweet blessings our way. We have to let Him control the timing. If we try to go out and seek our own personal relief, that's not always something the Lord wants us to do. He will bring these things to us.
Yes.
Now, earthly blessings, there is certainly a place for that. We need food, right? That's an earthly blessing. We need clothing, certainly an earthly blessing. There's times that we need physical healing. Times we need money. However, all of those are going to go to the grave with us. There is no physical healing that we can take into eternity. It's all temporary. The physical, all this is, there's a place for it, it's important, but it's not eternal.
That's right.
Now, what is eternal, just to name a few, healing from iniquity. That has tremendous value. Wisdom, knowledge of God, His glory in us. Those are the eternal blessings that hopefully we're developing an appetite for.
Mm-hmm.
So that we're not just going to ask for earthly things, but we're also going to say, but God, let me focus on what's eternal, so that in the next realm, whatever that looks like, I've got some riches. I've got some knowledge of God. I've got some kind of indication of how to communicate with Him that I have established here on the earth. So that in the next life, I've got some kind of foundation that has carried over with me, something eternal. But if we don't value these things, we're not going to have them.
Yep. Amen.
All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. And we will look at verses 19 through 22. This is about Paul's miraculous healing. Just to give you an example of an earthly blessing. That was necessary. Don't you know the phone doesn't want to cooperate this minute? Anyway, it's about when Paul had gone into the city and preached. He and some of his disciples went out of the city. Oh, you got it? Okay, read it. I know what it
says. Verse 19, and there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. Supposedly he had died. Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned back to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch.
Yeah, so, again, Paul was left for dead after preaching. The Lord came in and healed him. There was no tent. There was no tent service.
Yep.
There was no laying on of hands, no anointing of oil. God just did it. It was necessary. It was timely. And Paul needed to be restored so he could go right back into the city and preach some more. So that's an example of an earthly blessing that is very important, very necessary. God orchestrated that, and so there's a place. There is a place for that. All right, let's look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. All right, yes, please.
Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
Yes.
Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything.
That is one of the most amazing verses in the Bible to me. Not lacking anything? My mind can hardly wrap it, you know, itself around that. Is that attainable?
Yes.
But how do we get there? The trying of your faith.
Amen.
There has to be a death to self, some suffering involved that is according to the will of God. We can't just decide we're going to go out and be a martyr. It doesn't work like that. This has to be directed by the Lord and orchestrated by Him. So, this wanting nothing, that is a spiritual focus. That is not about a pair of shoes that built someone. You know, it has nothing to do with any kind of earthly desire. It has everything to do with our spiritual well-being. Alright, 1 Peter 1, 7, very similar, talking about the trial of your faith by fire. Let's see if my phone's going to cooperate.
I got it, Bonnie.
Very good.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen. There's that word again, fire, trial of your faith. You see how we can track it. This is just a small portion of scriptures that's related to this. Romans 8:18, most of us are familiar about with that, for the sufferings of this world. I'm going to see if I can pull it up. If somebody else gets it first, then that's great.
For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worth to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Yeah, again, that goes up to the key concept. How is glory revealed? the process through some kind of suffering, some kind of tool that the Lord uses to bring about. And he says they're not worthy to be compared.
Yes.
Well, we don't feel like that when we're in it, do we? We feel like it is the most awful thing, and that we can just barely stand it another minute. That's our human nature. But he takes us from natural to spiritual and trains us how to respond in that. The next one is very similar about white affliction, 2 Corinthians 4, 5 through 18. Let's see what we have. 2 Corinthians 4. My phone was not doing this before. But if anyone has it, that's fine. But one of the main points there is, again, that it's all a light affliction. You're familiar with that verse. For the light afflictions that we endure now, again, are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. I'm paraphrasing. But it's the same concept. What I have done to help me with this, whenever something every day I have something difficult to deal with. I'm in a period of time now that's what he has for me. It has not always been like that. I've been for periods of time that nothing real strenuous has been happening, but right now there is quite a bit. So I go back to this verse, and I say, okay, Lord, you call it a light affliction. That's what I'm going to call it. Because if I call it anything different than that, I'm not complying with this perspective. So I will go through in my mind and say, you're a light affliction. You're a light affliction. You're a light affliction. You're not going to tell me you're anything more than a light affliction. So that my emotion, my thinking will line up with the Word of God. Because if I don't, all these wild imaginations start coming into my mind and I will exacerbate the problem and it'll be, this big monster that I can't overcome. So it is very, very helpful to keep in mind that they are light afflictions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, let's look at Paul's afflictions. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through
30. I have it.
Good, thank you.
5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness.
Amen. Okay, there's a couple of things I want to point out here. Not only Paul, but David, and in different places, especially in the Psalms, they have no problem stating what their circumstances are. They have no problem stating what their emotions are. But then they turn to the Lord. It's, this is what's happening, but God.
That's right.
And so that is one of the expectations that he has of us. I am not afraid. If I have a cold, I have no problem telling you I have a cold. To me, it's not going to make it worse. But hopefully, if I have the right attitude, I'll say something to the effect, yes, I have a cold, but I thank the Lord that He's helping me through this. I'm going to lean on Him and depend on Him, even though I feel awful today. Something to that effect. Mm-hmm. So we state what the problem is, but then we say, but God. And we focus on the Lord and His victory in that. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Again, we glory in infirmities. Does someone have that?
I got it.
That's great.
And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong.
Amen. Now that's quite a list. Can we believe it? Can we face our trial with this front and center? Are we going to murmur and complain? Or are we seeking? That is an amazing verse, that the power of God rests on us. Well, what's the criteria? That's quite a list of things that that you have to go through for the power of God to rest on you. Mm-hmm. It's because you have learned to overcome. You've learned to be a victor. And He's promising to help us.
Yes.
Promising to help us. We're not just thrown out there and expected to man up, so to speak. But we are expected, if I can use this phrase, to God up. Get hold of God. Get hold of what His Word says about this. Then we've got something that will steady us as we go through whatever it is we're facing. And I know a lot of us are familiar with this next verse, Colossians 1:27, Christ in us, the hope of glory. If someone has it, that's good.
To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen. Again, that's where He's taking us. All this is back to Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So how is He going to do that? He's going to put His glory in us. And again, we've got to go through the process.
Amen.
It's not instantaneous. Matthew 5:11-12.
Got it.
Thank you.
God blesses you when people mock you, persecute you, lie about you, and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad. Mm. For great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way.
Amen. Do we believe it? If we can't, let's be honest and say, God help me. God help me. I'm not there yet, but I want to be. None of us are where He eventually wants us to be. We're not finished with our maturation process. So we have to be honest with Him and say, Lord, again, I don't think I'm there yet, but I sure want to be. Lord, help me. And He is faithful.
Yes.
He will absolutely help us. Just like He's helping me with the phone that want to cooperate. All right. Now, the next one, let's look at Matthew 4:8-9.
Again, the devil took Him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto Him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
All right, this is the gospel according to Satan. Mm-hmm. We need to be aware of this. I do not like talking about Satan unless it's necessary, but there's times that it's necessary. We need to be aware of what he's up to. So Satan is offering Christ to rule without death.
Yep.
Rule without suffering. You will hear this preached in churches.
Amen.
It saddens me, but there are times when this is offered and people accept it. Oh, I don't have to suffer. I can have all this and just be blessed by the Lord, and they're of course thinking about earthly blessings. But there is no ruling and overcoming without enduring some kind of suffering.
Yes.
It just is not going to happen. We have to be very, very careful about what we hear that others are offering. I'll do one more. It's 8:30. I'm aware of time. I don't want to go too long. One more. Hebrews 12:2. And I'll just go ahead and read my note. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. That's most of it. Jesus knew what was on. Of course, now he was slain from before the foundation of the earth. However, it was manifested at this particular time.
Amen.
And he knew what was on the other side of the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured. That has encouraged me so many times. That another one is called chasing is not pleasant for the present, and it does bring us into discipline with training. You'll see some of these later on, and it'll make sense when you get to it. But the fact that Jesus endured by focusing on what was on the other side, that has gotten me through quite a few things.
Amen.
Quite a few, because I know that once I die to self, I'm going to be resurrected in the same power. The same power that raised Christ from the dead can live in me.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
And we have to believe it. We have to trust he's going to do it. It's not just death and that's it. If we die properly in his timing, according to his will, with the right attitudes, with all these things in the right order, then we will be resurrected in his nature, and we can overcome whatever it is.
Amen.
That we are facing. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Again, this is a study guide. There's much, much more in here. So if we want to take a break, and then we'll go into some questions, if you have any. If you have any prayer requests, we can do that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.